and I got my ass kicked and won by 50 points.
Wempway has finally brought you here. Behold, Forge the Narrative.
Hey everybody, welcome to Forge the Narrative. My name is Paul, your host, BLA Bella Lost Souls Podcast. I'm joined by Adam Camilleri.
Evening, everybody.
Tanya Gates.
Hi everyone.
And Red Powell.
Hello.
It's a little bit of something for everybody in this episode. We, of course, are going to be talking about the balanced data slate. I know everybody that puts out any kind of content is going to be talking about this thing, but it is actually pretty mega. I don't want to say depowers some certain factions or empowers certain other factions, but I think it does exactly what it says on the tin here. It's a balanced data slate.
And I am just so happy to see it. I am so happy to see it. I was very worried for a while. I think I said this to guys just a couple of minutes ago. I was worried after, I think it's been all of this year, I think. Maybe we had a little adjustment. I think the most notable bit was the Ballistari losing core. But apart from that, we haven't seen any major balance changes to the entire game for this edition, apart from Chapter Approved. Or is that incorrect? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, there's been some adjustments. There's been some, remember, point adjustments. We saw it released in a White Dwarf, the point adjustments.
Yes.
There has been some there, and yeah. The FAQs have been, some have been more involved than others.
It's hard to remember, you know, from when, how far we are away from January 1, 2020 to...
Yeah. Dude, you're absolutely right. My exposure to having to think about and quantify the things to play the game has been pretty... not sporadic, but disjointed due to the main ability to play the game. But yeah, I'm so happy to see this. I think they did a great job overall.
Let me start here at the top. You know, universal match play rule. This is something that we talked about on the show a bunch, is that the matched play comes with its own set of like restrictions and criteria and stuff that can be altered whenever the game needs it. And this is one of those things to where I know it's not necessarily applies to, you know, all flyers and all forces or whatever. We can talk about why this is important in a minute. But when mustering your army for a match play game, it cannot include more than one aircraft model. If you are playing a combat patrol or incursion size game, more than two aircraft models if you're playing in a strike force game, which 2,000 points is strike force, or more than three aircraft if you're playing in an onslaught size game.
I think this is absolutely fair. What do you guys think?
So I think that, and you could probably find the soundbite of where in the last few weeks, I mean, I've talked about recommendations or adjustments to this, and I think that this falls right in line. I thought, you know, something along the lines of an air wing detachment, like what there used to be. I don't think that this is too far removed from that, and that it still comes with quite the hefty restriction. I mean, even when you think of onslaught games, we talked about games with different point sizes. Three flyers to 3,000 points seems kind of crazy. And by crazy, I mean, it's just because we're so used to, I mean, you look at 8th edition and the Craft World list, and we think back to ATC and the Storm Raven list. And now, you know, we're looking at, I think that, you know, as you just mentioned, Adam, the time that we've looked at with 9th edition, I think the flyers actually have been running away from themselves. It's just that we hadn't seen them on the table because of extenuating circumstances.
Well, there's a couple things, if I can jump in, is that flyers, it's either, you know, you point them into obscurity to where they don't see play anyway, you know, or you have them in a reasonable point level, reasonable power level, but then they got this extra layer on top of it that they really, I don't want to say break the game, but they make some factors that, you know, as it should, infantry-based tanks and stuff have to deal with. They cut out a lot of that interaction with the table. And,
exactly right.
And so if you happen to, you know, have a codex that has just a great fire with great stats and ability to take it, or, you know, in mass quantity, then you're removing that interactive feature.
Exactly
and match play that you have to interact with another human being.
And furthermore, in 9th edition, we have put so much effort into making tables feel balanced, feel appropriate, and feel like they're going to be an interactive, enjoyable experience for two players, and then planes just invalidate all that work. Like, they're just like, ah, doesn't matter. You know, you've got 3 billion pieces of terrain. Probably still doesn't matter. I can still get to you some way. So yeah, it's definitely a move forward. And I think, too, at a competitive 2,000-point level is just fine. I mean, I own 2 Nephilim Jet Fighters and 2 Dark Talons, and I don't feel bad about that at all. Playing 2 of those guys in a game still feels great. Still feels like they'll be an active, interesting part of my army, but they won't be the build around themselves. They won't be the archetype. Well, I don't know.
Full disclosure, you know, I own several Hemlocks and I enjoy playing with flyers. I have several Marine flyers and that kind of stuff. You know, it's just, so my collection is taking a quote unquote hit, but with the way that this scales, I can't really complain because I think it's going to give an overall better experience for this match play setting.
Totally fair.
I thought maybe it would be cool if there was like maybe a bit of a CP tax that you might have to take for aircraft, but like maybe you could only take 1 per detachment or something like that. Just because I do feel like some factions 2 is still pretty... it could still feel kind of bad.
I suppose that's where points has to kind of back this up. If you can still take 2 and they feel oppressive or they feel like they're too dominant, then the points have to come in and make some adjustments, right?
Have you ever played against somebody who's playing 2 Void Raven Bombers?
I have.
I've actually played it. I've been that person.
How does that feel when you're fighting against it?
I mean, I understand. It's definitely because of what they do. But then, okay, so take that to the nth level, Tanya, and imagine the AdMech bombers do it every turn, not just once per battle.
Hey, yeah. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying, like, maybe if you had to pay a little bit of extra CP to take an extra plane, it maybe wouldn't be so bad.
Well, keep in mind, this is also just match play. You can play any other style of the game and use as many flyers as you want or as few flyers as you want, or even heck in your local area or your game, your buddy, like, yo, would you please not take them? Or, hey, I'm bringing all of them this game and you deal with it. But I think this is a pretty elegant solution for match play.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. The other one I thought was what Tanya said. You know how we have the relic tax? Like if you want to take a relic unit from Imperial Armor, you pay a CP. That could have been a thing as well. So if you're, because a lot of lists pay a bunch of, you know, CP tax to take 2 or 3 patrols. They're already, you know, dropping at least 2 CP to take a second patrol. If you're taking a third, that's 4 CP dropped. Oh, you want to take 4 flyers as well? It's another 4 CP, mate. There's 8 gone just for the privilege of taking your 4 flyers. So you're essentially starting with a donut, which, you know, that could have been a solution as well, but I think what they've done is just fine.
Yeah, the Jakari don't care. They don't need CP. They just take all the flyers and all the succubuses.
That's kind of fair.
We'll get there in a second, though, because everything's kind of taken a little bit of a shift here, and I think it's good. So Adeptus Mechanicus, they got a points shift, and Castellan Robots down 10 points.
That's right. You were just playing a meta 6 months ahead, Paul. You just knew it. You called it.
Listen to the show. You get 6 months ahead of the meta. Those things, even at a 10-point reduction, a unit of 6 is still 640 points or something like that.
Yeah, there's no getting around it. It's pretty bonkers.
They are amazing, though. But I think this is one of those, the Codex got a bit of a shift. So Skitarii Rangers going up by 1 point. Skitarii Marshal going up by 10 points. And it's probably still the best, was it 55 points in the game now or something? 75 points?
55. Yeah, they're 55 points now, and they're still probably the best buff character we have, point for point. Like, not even a question, probably.
Manipulus already also going up 10 points. So, still very efficient characters. 10 points is... on the surface, it doesn't... You think, oh, it's only 10 points, but then we just talked about 30 points that was added to the list. Because the quantity that you take to these characters. And then when Skitarii Rangers going up 1 point, Skitarii Vanguard going up 1 point, Infiltrators and Rustalkers going up by 2 points apiece. The Ballistari Iron Striders going up by 10 points, and Cerberus Raiders going up by 4 points. So, cumulatively, you were losing a unit or 2.
That adds up real quick.
Yeah. Which can be significant because some of these armies rely on being incredibly redundant and efficient with points, and this messes with both of those factors, those meta factors, X factors, in the army list, I think fairly significantly, even though nothing about those changes prevents you from taking those models still.
Mm. Right. There's a couple of significant pieces of war gear that went up as well. Both data tethers and omnispexes for both Rangers and Vanguard got 5 points added to them as well. Because they, at the points that they were just auto includes. They were just so easy to take.
Built to want every model that could take them.
Exactly. Well, now if you're taking 5 or 6 units of these guys, you have to actually ask yourself the question, do I need it on all of them? Do I want to take it on all of them? Yeah.
They've been relegated to Voxcasters, so they just look cool on the model. And now will not be on every model.
So this one's interesting, yeah? So both the Rustalkers and the Infiltrators went up by 2 points. And I think that's really fair. I think they're one of the best things in that book. And I don't think those 2 points make enough of a difference to make them not one of the best things in that book.
No, but, none of these changes do. I don't think anything really takes away. You're not going to think, oh, this now goes on the shelf or it's mothballed. You will, how your army plays and links together with all that synergy and redundancy, I think is going to take the hit, which doesn't make you have less fun. It makes your opponent have more fun.
Well, it's an accumulation, right? The point increase over time, and what you're looking at exactly to what you mentioned. I mean, it doesn't take any one unit and say, nope, can't take this anymore, kind of deal. Except for what they did to flyers to an extent, right? We won't see 6 or 4 flyers to that extent again at this point. But for the rest of the army, it's like, oh man, I can't take all of this stuff that I had. I now have I think the average list went up by approximately 200 points or so for AdMech.
Yeah, well, so what people have been previously taking. There's one change that
wait,
I
wait
feel...
one second, though. Unless you were taking Castellan Robots, in that case, you could add yourself another Skitarii Marshal into your list.
I love it. The chicken walkers went up by 10, but it's the next one that has got me really interested. Cerberus Raiders went up by 4 points, in addition to getting 5 points on their data tether. So they're now 20 points a model. So that's the only one I think might get a little on the nose when people were trying to take, you know, big squads of 9 of them with Mars and, you know, get the double mortals on the 6s, etc. That unit might not be as palatable to people, but I still think you're going to see the min squads here and there to do your screening. They're just too good.
What they can accomplish with blocking out an objective.
Yeah.
So where you can, how this works, and Adam, maybe you can explain it a little bit more eloquently than I am, but you move them up on the very edge of the objective, therefore preventing anyone from closing onto the objective. And then when they go to charge you, you get your full move away. So no one, if you claim that objective either on your turn or prevented them from scoring points, so you're actually generating point swings.
Yes, exactly right. And so they've got a run when charged mechanic for a couple of CP, where if they're targeted as a target of a charge, they can drop those CP and just get out of dodge. It can force people to be, well, if you don't see it coming, it can be a bit of a gotcha. That's not, you know, the way we like to play the game or promote the game, but it creates really awkward positions for people. Exactly. Well, when you know it's coming, it still has a very huge psychological effect on your opponent. So I think it's just as good. It's better if you don't, because it really forces your opponent to play differently, to play around them. And when used well, they're one of the most frustrating units in the game, which absolute props to AdMech players everywhere who've learned to use them well, because I find them such a headache to kind of quantify what they're going to be able to do if I try and remove them.
Well, with the fact that the movement phase or moving models is the most powerful thing that you can do in Warhammer 40,000, and that is their whole shtick. I mean, they do have some cool shooting. They can target characters. They can do some things. Their guns are not terrible. They get, but most of their deal is wrapped up in movement, and paying a little bit more for that, probably very justified.
So they did have points increases to their flyers, unless I'm being misinformed.
They did.
Yeah. How much did they go up by, if you guys know?
The Fusilov, the Archaeopter, 20 points for both of them.
So that's the bomber and the gunship?
Yeah, the Fusilov and the Stratoraptor.
Probably fair enough.
No, it really is. I mean, honestly, like, we talked about this last time. I mean, when you compare them to take like Space Marine flyers, the points just don't, it's just doesn't make sense to capability, like point wise for what they do versus what other flyers are clocked in at. Like this is what I was saying when like an FAQ was coming, and here it is, and this is it. And it's just a matter of time where you look at some of these things and you say, you know what, that just doesn't add up, and here's what makes more sense. And I think, honestly, especially as they announce this as a quarterly thing, which I think is a big deal in regards to frequency and addressing the game, because that takes a ton of effort. But I think that this was absolutely in the right direction. And I'm sorry to all the AdMech players that disagree with me.
I just don't even think they're that affected.
I think it's fine. I think we all know that AdMech was either first or second best army in the game for the last 6 to 7 months, sorry. And I don't think that's changed overly. They might be in top five now, but they certainly haven't dropped out of the top five, like by any means. Hey, you might just have to try a little bit harder. Most people will probably be AdMech players will be probably happy to hear that their choices matter a bit more. And they've got, well, there isn't just one or two ways to play that are just so much better than the rest. They can actually get some nuance back into their game, add some more personal flavor and some personality to their lists. Like the Castellan Robot, brought to you by TPM.
Well, I was about to say, as someone who has not finished painting all their Cerberus Raiders, you know, maybe I have to paint a few less.
Yeah, fair. The only other two changes I saw was, I think, a couple of their special upgrades, the Logi and the Artisans, got touched, with Logi going up by 5, Artisans by 10, which were obviously easily the best choices there. They were so much better than the others. But now, I think, one of those is 40 points now. I can't remember which one of those. But at 40 points, like, you know, we're talking Chapter Master level buffs here. So now it's Chapter Master level points, which I think is appropriate.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you want to jump start talking about, I know that as all of us being guard players, the Astra Militarum, they've got a pretty significant thing here. I mean, starting right off the out of the gate here, change the save characteristics of Astra Militarum Lehman Russes to 2+.
I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows we've also got there's a couple of tank aces that can increase your durability as well, in addition to popping smoke for either strike it through the order or just through popping smoke, and then we also have psychic barrier to +1 to our saves as well. So you can get a pretty tanky Lehman Russ now, standing with a 2+ armor save, as it should be. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, of course you guys remember, but for Tanya, they used to be armor 14 in the front. It used to be a big deal because there were so few weapons that could actually hurt the thing if they were shooting at you in the front. You have to actually tactically get around and flank him and get behind him and all these things.
I played in 7th. I understand.
Beautiful. I've always wanted them to feel that good again, at least from the front. I don't know. I don't know if they want to do their toughness 9 from the front, 7 on the sides, and 4 on the back or something silly.
That would be a unique thing for them, but yeah, I'd be for it. Why not?
It used to be them and Land Raiders with like the two most fearsome and hardest things to crack, like, because they're just like, well, 14 armor around. You're like, did I bring melter guns? And even if you brought melter guns, if you're not melter range, it's only on a 6 you're doing any damage. It was really cool.
It's weird. The battle cannon didn't really fall out of favor until we went to the AP system. And it's weird that the Lehman Russ battle tank seems to, it's like one of the largest casualties of the addition shifts.
On top of its profile, the D3 damage just seeming to drop off over time, like D3 just didn't have much longevity. Then you had also the issue of, as soon as it gets tapped, it becomes a paperweight. And even when it can shoot into combat, its best gun can't. Like, if you could shoot the battle cannon into combat, they'd be a lot better. They could almost function like a bully unit themselves, in the fact that you can push up into people and be like, well, if you can't kill me in one turn, I'm going to shoot myself out of any issues you throw at me, because I've got a battle cannon going to be shooting into combat. So yeah, they did run into a lot of problems. This is a big step in the right direction, as are the next ones, if you want to jump into it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
So first and foremost, when using tank orders of a regiment tank commander model, you can select one friendly vehicle unit, not Lehman Russ unit, in order. So you can order your Sentinels, your Chimeras, your Hellhounds, like it a lot. And you can order artillery pieces such as your Manticores, your Wyverns, your Basilisks. It's a very freeing thing. And Tanya and Red, both guard players, can probably interject.
I mean, for me, I see it like I see myself using full throttle more in more of like shenanigans kind of style stuff. I like to use sentinels to get like engage or to like deny banners being put down and things like that. And I don't know, just being able to give a sentinel full throttle on top of the pregame move, on top of its regular move, and then it also has a stratagem that you can pay to like get it where you need to go. Like you can get that sentinel wherever you need it to be turn one.
And if it's Cadian, you have a strat to make it OPSEC.
This is true.
Well, so that's
Cadia.
Yeah, yeah.
You will with those white shields.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
Which goes into the next bit, Red.
Well, before we get to that, I just got to say to the tank orders and everything, it makes so much sense, right? I mean, I know that this is, we've gone through a lot of abstractions and so on and so forth with the game, but really the ability to give a Hellhound like move, fire, move or something like that, that's just how vehicles maneuver in a lot of ways. And so I really appreciate GW adding this in and allowing us to use it with a lot of these different vehicles, because, I mean, you think about it. Tank commanders really have, for a while now, we talk about the AP game. I mean, you've seen tank commanders in armies from 8th edition, mostly with plasma executioners. And they're really used as gun platforms more than they are as tank commanders per se. But now in this case, you're really going to see the option for tank commanders to be used in that capacity as tank commanders, ordering other vehicles what to do and how to maneuver and things like that. I'm pretty excited about that. So there's my two cents of reality right there. But
what would a tank commander be doing right now?
Oh, I mean, that's the thing.
Recording a podcast?
I mean, at this hour, yeah.
We're getting meta. We're getting super meta.
Yeah, so to the next one, the what I'm calling the splash orders, man, I'm in such a, as I'm painting one of 120 little infantry bases right now, I'm super excited for the splash orders. Someone want to read that exactly as it is off the card so I don't mess it up?
Each time a regiment unit with a voice of command ability issues one of the following orders to a regiment infantry unit, the same order can be issued to one or more other friendly regiment infantry units, excluding officer units that are within 6 inches of the unit that order was originally issued to.
Oh my gosh. That's
take
so
aim,
good.
First rank, fire, second rank, fire, bring it down, forward for the Emperor, get back in the fight, and fix bayonets.
That's so good.
For the longest time, I've felt like I wanted one more order. I took things like the Laurels of Command on a 4+, I could issue another order. I've paid CP every turn to issue other orders. And this just feels good. This just feels straight up such a quality of life improvement. If I want to play an infantry-based army, I'm not shackled to taking two company commanders and like two platoon commanders to feel like I've got enough orders. I can really take like one or two, use them appropriately, and save those points. It feels fantastic.
It's awesome. It really is. I mean, I know exactly what you're talking about. As I'm sitting here staring at three company commanders that I was using just to do that. Right.
Dude,
I mean,
you were wearing me out with those laurels. Like this, do this, we do this, do this. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna lose all my secondary guard.
So, how do you feel that laurels is gonna work with this? So, I give like one order to one unit, and then everybody else gets it, and they give another order to another unit, and everybody else gets it.
So, I'm pulling that up in the app right now because
that's the thing. Apparently, there's an app. Apparently,
yeah, there is. Laurels of Command. Okay, officer, roll a dice each time the bearer issues an order to a friendly regiment unit. So on a 4+, the bearer can immediately issue another order to the same unit. So I don't know if this Laurels of Command deal will allow just the wording of the splash. I don't know if it technically counts as go ahead.
I'm gonna say it doesn't.
Right, because they aren't technically being issued the order, right?
Yeah, they're not issuing, he's issuing, so the command is issuing one order twice. It's not issuing two orders, so you wouldn't get double activation off the laurels. Still doesn't make it a bad thing. I still might take it. But the thing is, do I need five orders now? Which is essentially what I'm going to be getting.
I think you take it originally and then see how it canvasses your army and then like maybe back it down.
Yes. But yeah, that's true as well. It's also noted that these don't work. None of the regiment orders are affected. So you don't get the Catachan. You can't use it on the Catachan one or the et cetera, et cetera. None of the... the non-specific ones. Where I find this is where I need to unpack a little bit from this is the implications for Scions, because this is extremely good for Scions. Because you can only take three commanders in Scions, and so a lot of the time you don't want to take three commanders, you want to take, you know, one or two. That one solo Scion you had in your tech or your jank or your tooled for purpose Scions detachment in your guard force, I feel like just got a whole lot better. Big fan of this.
I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, I was looking at, I've got three Tempestor Primes here. I've got I mean, it's not just the Scions. There, that's a great example because you've got these special weapon. You know, I've got three command squads that I'm running, and the ability to give an order in it to just burst into everybody that just got out of that Valkyrie, for example, or, you know, in the background with my heavy weapons teams to be able to burst that order amongst all of those heavy weapons teams within proximity. I mean, it's pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited for it.
That's good. I think anything that can breathe the life into this this faction right now is going to be exactly what it needs.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think this is going to fundamentally alter the power of Guard. Like, it's not going to make them explode and be one of the most dominant factions in the game. But like I said, it's just going to streamline a lot of the thinking, a lot of the planning. It's going to be very freeing to Guard players just by the dint of the quality of life and the amount of different pieces they need constantly being, you know, tracking and maintaining. You can just take one or two commanders for an entire infantry army, use them well, and really get your mileage. I think it's cool.
Nice.
It's also nice that it kind of it's going to make Assassinate a little bit less appealing because you're just going to have less of them, right?
That's actually huge.
But you're playing God's Ghost.
Yeah, I was about to say, you guys, I'm playing a different meta where I've lulled my opponent into complacency in that they all just think that they're winning because they've automatically got the 15 points for Assassinate. And yeah. You say Gaunt's Ghost aren't winning now. Just give it a second.
Got orders everywhere, backed up by some really nice tanks.
So if I was gonna TLDR this for people at home, you used to have to theoretically take one commander per two units. Yeah,
that's right.
Because that's theoretically how many they could buff. Now you can do four. So it's literally doubled the efficiencies. Or you can do technically six, because you can pay a CP to issue an extra order. So technically one company commander can buff six units. And if you want to think about it like that, it's pretty exciting.
Can you read the splash thing again? Read the splash wording? Because I think that you're not limited, Adam.
It's an aura.
Each time a regiment unit with the voice of command ability issues one of the following orders to regiment infantry unit, the same order can be issued to one or more other friendly regiment infantry units
more.
That are within six of the unit that was originally
within six.
So it's anyone you want within six. So
and
yeah,
it
so literally
out
it's
like 12.
Realistically,
commander.
My numbers were probably right. It's probably going to end up being like four or six, but for different reasons, because like by dint of how many units you can get within 6 inches. But this means if you've got a big plan, I'm just thinking about the Scions implications. So I can deep strike down two command squads and two bricks of 10 Scions with weapons, and then just first rank, second rank, two of them, and then real ones to hit the plasma boys, or ones to wound the melter boys, or both of the, it's so good. This is really
good. That's right.
Yeah, very exciting. Extremely exciting.
If y'all are excited, I'm excited.
Yeah. What's next?
Well, we can talk about Chaos Space Marines before we take a break here. This is change the Death of the False Emperor ability to read each time a model with this ability makes a melee attack. A hit roll of 6+ scores one additional hit.
So it used to be only against Imperium faction, and it used to also be a unmodified roll of 6. And so now, which was a change, it used to be just hit on 6+. And so it used to be that you could prescience into it. And then they changed that, and then it used to only be Imperium, but now Death to the False Emperor, the Chaos Space Marines are literally so angry about the Emperor that they're using it against every other faction as well.
Everyone is the Emperor.
Yeah. That's right. So it's unmodified, so you can buff it with prescience. It's just a 6+, like what we used to see in 8th edition. Buff it with prescience, buff
it set to defend, give you a +1 to hit or something.
There's the apostle, the dark apostle can give a +1 to hit, and then it's so like the two really good combos. The Emperor's Children have a way to increase it, as well as the World Eaters have a way to increase Death to the False Emperor.
I think Abaddon does as well, but it might be one of his wolves that puts it off on a 5+.
Yes, I do think it is his. It might actually be his warlord trait, I think.
Could even be Black Legion, we'll say.
That's right. A Black Legion warlord trait.
Forgive my ignorance, but before, didn't it just give you an extra roll?
So it was an extra attack, and now it's an yes, I'm sorry. That's the other big change, is that now it's automatically an additional hit. So you saves you a little bit of extra rolling, which is pretty awesome.
I love it. It's not as good as having two wounds on Chaos Space Marine.
It's not. We're building up to that, Tanya, okay?
Yeah. They got to get real angry first, and then they got to take their vitamins, and that's going to get them that. Does set to defend give you the plus one?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, cannot fire Overwatch, but add one to hit rolls in the next fight phase.
There you go.
So what is that? You could have some Slaanesh or World Eater Terminators sitting in cover, get charged, and proc extra attacks on a 4+.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you buff that for me?
Spicy. Also, there's an icon of excess that lets it go off on a 5+, I believe.
That's right.
So that would be a 5+. But then you can't stack it. Plus is one to hit, still don't stack. So I think the best you can do is a 4+.
The World Eaters are, they have a stratagem that does the same thing as the icon of excess. So they can be fives. And then I think you're right, Adam, that since the pluses don't stack, like you don't get any further than that. So I think you're at four.
Yeah, I think the best you can, not that getting floating fours. Yeah, it's terrible. Put them back on the, you know, it's the worst thing I ever heard. Yeah, it's good as.
Okay, so before we cut to the other part, I will say that these balance changes will be in effect at the Games Workshop Austin US Open tournament.
Good.
Really exciting. It's going to be the first big event where we get to see what the new world looks like.
Well, and so yeah, there's some other changes here. Knights, Necrons, Orcs. You got to come back after the break to hear it. We'll be right back.
Mm.
FTN is brought to you by Discount Games Inc. Please visit them at www.discountgamesinc.com. And don't forget to ask Jay about ways to save even more on your hobby projects.
We are back. Thanks for checking out our sponsors and hanging in after the break. So yeah, Imperial Knights and Chaos Knights getting what I think is a quality of life improvement. All vehicle models with the Imperial Knights or Chaos Knights faction keyword gain the following ability, Towering Foe. The model counts as 5 models when determining control of an objective marker. If this model is a Titanic model, it instead counts as 10 models when determining control of an objective marker. And then there's a second bullet point. If every model from your army has the Chaos Knights or Imperial Knights faction keywords, excluding agents of the Imperium or unaligned units, you can still take those bastions. Then all Armiger class and War Dog models from your army gain the objective secured ability.
There it is.
I think this is fantastic for Knight players. No matter what stripe you may be, Renegade or not, this is just gives you so much more ability to play the game. It used to be like I played a couple of games against Knights and I got my ass kicked and won by 50 points. You know, it didn't matter. Their killing ability, their big towering fearsome nature, just didn't translate into points on the scoreboard. And it felt pretty bad.
Knights are being taken now. So anything that gives them more staying power, more ability to score points, exactly like you're talking, is only going to help bubble them up higher in the rankings.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think this is... So there's some things people need to note here. Your big knights do not have OBSEC.
Right.
They count as 10, but if they don't have OBSEC, that means any one OBSEC model will take it back off them. Your little knights have OBSEC and count as 5. So if one OBSEC model is on an objective and another OBSEC model is on an objective, both OBSEC, no matter if you've got 5 to 1 OBSEC, both are nullified and it goes to the amount of models you have. So one OBSEC Armiger or whatever, and one big knight on an objective, you would need 16 other models on that objective to take it off them. And I got to tell you, if they're both on the objective, chances are you don't have enough space to fit 16 models on the objective, even no matter what size bases they are. I got to tell you, there's no room. It just doesn't. The room doesn't exist.
Yeah, or after one fight phase, you know, where what is left that had 16 models?
Yes, didn't get pounded into the ground. I think this is fantastic for both stripes, like I said, and I think there are some builds for Imperial. So people might know about the Freeblade Lance, which is a army of renown from the Book of Rust, or the first, whichever one that was. That gave the Freeblade Lance gave you the ability to really customize the Freeblade traits and benefits and vows that they had, which allowed you to give OBSEC to your big knights. And I think that build now all of a sudden is incredibly sexy because now you've got 3 big knights that are OBSEC and count as 10 models. And there's no OBSEC unit in the game apart from maybe Deathwing Terminators that they can walk up to shoot and fight in combat, that is still going to have 10 models left to deny them the objective. Like, it's pretty good, guys.
And they might be able to score a primary.
That's the thing, yeah. Like I said, I'd get my ass kicked, end the game with like 200 points left on the table, but I've maxed primary and maxed most of my secondaries, and they haven't. So it was always such a rough prospect.
Necrons. We can't get this episode about talking about the Necrons. Necrons have, I don't know, 400% increase in core units now.
Yep, exactly. I mean, when you account for that list, let's go down the list of what's now core.
Yeah, add core, add the core keyword to the keyword section of the following data sheets: Canoptic, Ananthrites.
Mm-hmm.
I think I said that right.
Forge World,
Canoptic,
yep.
Yeah, Reanimator, yep. Canoptic Race, Flayed Ones, Locust Destroyers, Locust Heavy Destroyers, Ophidian Destroyers, Scorpatch Destroyers, and Triarch Praetorians.
Oh, man.
Huge. This is huge.
So beyond just being able to be buffed from, you know, an Overlord or whatever, what is this really giving him?
Okay, so, I mean, we can start with the Silent King, where all of his abilities affect a Necron core model, right? And so that's rerolling ones, rerolling to shoot, rerolling to wound. It also, the Relentless Advance now pushes off onto everything that we just listed off to include the original core units, which were Warriors, Immortals, Tombblades, Deathmarks, and I think there was one more, but like that's literally, Lich Guard. Like, that's it. Like that, yeah. There were five. And when you just listed off 10, so we saw a literal 200% increase in what has core. And so when it comes down to it, and that's also counting, you know, you talk about the other head HQ units. Zaris now can buff up a unit every turn, one of these core units. So you talk about taking destroyers or wraiths and suddenly making them additional toughness or strength.
I think this buffed Cesaris just as much as anything. In addition, the rites of reanimation in your command phase, you can select one friendly Necron's core unit within six of this model. One model is reanimated every turn. You've got a Primaris Apothecary now. It's a proper Apothecary equivalent. Remember when this book came out? And I was furious that Space Marines resurrected units better and models better than Necron.
You might have
maybe. But now they're on par.
That's right.
You destroy every turn. That's extremely good value. Like, wow.
And so you can use the Veil of Darkness, choose a core unit, and then essentially place it wherever. And then if you've got if you're using an Overlord or something of that effect to do that, they now get +1 to their charge roll, which is huge.
Destroyers.
That's right. I mean, any of the destroyers, really. I mean, and then also take that you can give My Will Be Done to any core unit. So give that to Locust Destroyers. I mean, there's some really good aspects to this.
See, this is the thing though, yeah. The bones of the Necron book are really quite good. They're not phenomenal, but they're strong and they're influential and they're important. You just didn't get to use them on enough units to make the army feel fleshed out. You're forced into two or three different builds.
Bones and fleshed out, like these non-incarnate ones. You're going deep.
It's like I've done this before. I don't know. Maybe in a past life, I've done commentary on content before.
Past life, but, doing it again.
But legitimately, I just can't get over My Will Be Done, the Relentless Advance, Relentless March, and the Reanimation Protocols. Three of the core tenets of the Necron book that were built around just went from being it's okay on Warriors, I guess, to being holy mother of whatever. This is phenomenally good now.
I think you're right. Once you started making choices about what, you know, what synergized with each other, what you could buff and what you would have, you know, pull a trick on during the game, it relegated you to specific units. And now the doors have been blown wide open.
They have.
Agreed.
Yeah, I love it. I can't wait to see some army lists. That's what I really want. I want to see army lists develop from this.
I think this will spawn so many archetypes. We've already seen some people really trying to make the Destroyer Cult or the Canoptic Destroyer combined work, because leveraging Toughness 5 was a very clever thing to do into a lot of Skitarii and Drakkari builds, because they're leveraging a lot of Toughness 3 and Toughness 4 attacks and shots. And so it made sense then. I just think it makes so much more sense now. But
Scorpex, right? So Scorpex have that stratagem for -1 to wound. And then Zaris buffs them we'll say, you know, another toughness or something. It's it gets silly real quick.
I mean, you're not going to be unhappy with any of the buffs he gives, by the way. Like, you're not going to be like, oh no, I only got plus one strength, or you know, well, the plus one ballistic skill on the Scorpex is going to be pretty awful. So
that'll be frustrating.
Never mind. Well, 2 out of 3, not bad.
Yeah, hey, you know. A little bit of dice rolling in this game.
And also, that model is sick, by the way. Caesarius is like one of the coolest models ever. So, so good.
Agreed there. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. Look, if you guys out there in internet land, if you got any list ideas for Necrons, let me know. I got several friends that play Necrons and would benefit from some of that knowledge. Let's talk about orcs. And then we'll talk about Drukhari. So orcs, a couple changes here. More than just a couple, really, when you add in the flyer for match play as well. But when mustering an orcs army, it cannot include more than one of each of the following units. Boomdaka's Nazwagon, Custom Booster Blaster, Megatrax Grabjets, Ruckatruck Swig Buggies, Shockjuck Draxtas, and I just want to say Ruckatruck Swig Buggies one more time. That's a big now these can be taken in units of three. So you could take, it'd be a maximum of a certain amount.
I feel like it would have been better if they just would have changed it so they couldn't go into units of more than one.
Go ahead. I think, I'm a little on the fence with this one. I understand why it was necessary, but this is one that I hope will fade over time. I think this might have been a patch fix because they didn't quite, because the Orc Codex wasn't that long ago, like for general consumption and release. I know this has caused some consternation and some bad feels because people have gone out and bought a lot of these models, and now everyone past the third that you brought of any of these models just is going to feel like a bit of a paperweight because there's actually no way to field it. But this is one of the good things I like about GW's system. I believe, and this, and please, in a couple of months, if this is proven to be incorrect, that's my apologies. But I think these things might not be permanent. Like, that might not be permanent. This might be something that gets taken off or removed in a couple of months should another fix come to light. But as it sits, how do you guys feel about it? Because I agree, this is essentially we have a rule of three, and this is giving Orc Buggies in particular a rule of one.
I don't know that I'd go into it thinking that it's not permanent, but they have definitely opened the door to revisit every single thing on this page, or to print new pages or whatever on this quarterly basis.
I think it's very clever as well, the way they're doing it. Just a small, concise document once every 3 months. Just, and it doesn't need to have much on it. You know, the next couple of ones could be just one or two dot points, so to speak. But yeah, this one, look, I think this is a necessary change. It might be a little bit, of all they've done, this one seems to be the most heavy-handed, but I think it was necessary because there are very few things I've experienced in the game as unfun as what that list used to do.
For Tanya's point and your point, Adam, I think that maybe this is the solution to the path of least resistance instead of changing the data slate itself in the codex, changing the match play, you know, what's applicable for match play to make that toggle, you know, you can toggle it in the future. So,
Yeah, you know? I just understand that. I know how like more casual orc players would play, and like none of them are actually going to take units of three. I think also like the buggies and stuff are made to be like mobile, and in lore also they don't really go around
hang out
in
together.
Like units. They kind of just go off and do their own thing, and so it just doesn't feel fluffy to me. But like I understand it's for match play, so that's not really a consideration with these rules. But it would just be nice if
you want the units to like operate how you think they do in their mind, even when you're playing in this, I guess, organized fashion.
I can't figure. I've been mulling this over. I can't figure out a better solution is the issue, or something that feels like that is similar to this. Because I was like, oh yeah, you can't have any more than three of any buggy. And I'm like, well, that's kind of what it is right now, because the list that's done the best recently of this was just single buggies of every type. So I'm trying to figure out what's an elegant solution, because I could see how a GW would have had some issues trying to figure this one out.
And didn't point him into obscurity again. Everybody gets stuff, play with stuff. I think this is, for right now, it's just fine. It's more than fine.
With the orc buggy, like the list, when we talk about the main offender, if you put any of the clan cultures on these buggies, would they still be as oppressive, or is it just freebooters?
So now I think that would have been the elegant solution if they didn't just bring out a book that gave them the successor to that. So for those who don't know, the Speedwar Army of Renown just came out, which was a very already, I think, was a bit of a side grade to what we already had. And should they have nerfed freebooters, it would have been a very easy pivot for competitive players to go straight into that build. And it wasn't as punitive as an alpha strike, because that's why the current build's unfun for those unaware. It alpha strikes you to oblivion. You're gone. If they go first, you don't have a say. The game's over. In a lot of ways, and of course, that is unfun in its entirety. But the fact is, they released another army that was going to be just as good, if not a slightly worse. And so I think they needed to do something like this.
We'll see how it plays out. Next big change. Is because look, this
it's not, you're not incorrect, mate. You're not incorrect.
Yeah, well, I mean, no, some change I think is going to be great. It's going to help this change is going to help the health of, you know, we've been talking the last several episodes about fatigue, you know, with the status quo and ways to maybe alleviate that. And this is a shot in the arm from the powers that be to really mix things up. And I'm really interested to see how it mixes things up.
Yeah, me too. I want to see, I'm sure Tanya will agree, I want to see Orc not be defined by a single list archetype. Mm. It's an awesome, deep faction with incredible models and incredible fluff. And I don't want to see defined by just one obscure build.
I think we, and I'm sure you won't disagree, I think we would hope that for every codex, right? And I know that for the Orcs, that's just the key point here, because those are clearly the ones that, in my opinion, got probably, I mean, we didn't see a point change for them. I think that maybe the next quarterly update, we might see a point adjustment for Orcs across the board.
For kill runes, because that will become the dominant thing after the
right. That is my assumption as well.
And so, but with that, I mean, I think that this balancing effort that GW is doing is allowing us, I mean, think of all the different list types that can now be built in the Necron Codex thanks to that adjustment.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm interested, and I think it's just because the Orcs and AdMech kind of overshadowed it, but I'm interested to see what comes of the Grey Knights and then, of course, future point adjustments for Orcs. I'm interested to see that as well.
Well, let's think about, you know, what bubbles to the top if this actually shifts the things around. You know, we talked about, you know, so-and-so's top five. You know, what is really going to play out of these major events over the next few weeks, few months?
Yeah. Did we talk about the Drakkari points?
Not yet. We're about to. And I want to point out that I know that there's been some events, I think, that are hesitant to implement this balance change. You got to pull it. Every tournament organizer takes their own risk and whatever. That's my caveat. And I believe that because they are the ones putting it up. But this is specifically designed to make the game more enjoyable for everyone involved.
Oh, you got to make that adjustment. You got to pivot and adapt and roll with it, because that's really where it's headed. It's just, I think, the unfortunate part, what is this, Tuesday? It released on a Tuesday. Nobody saw it coming, I guess. You know, there was no announcement that, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. There was nobody said out there like, hey, guess what? We're going to drop a points adjustment or anything. Unfortunately, there's RTTs, GTs, and majors coming up this next weekend that I don't really envy them in having to determine exactly all of the different ways forward, depending on the crowds that they might have attending.
No, I get it. If 98 of your 100 attendees are all brought the Orc buggies, then maybe they're fine with it. You know, but
right.
You gotta think of the health of the environment and why throw an asterisk on your event if you're using something that is clearly antiquated by this point.
Yeah, for sure.
But one man's opinion. Drakkari.
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 So this is another. This is another faction that has been absolutely dominant, and I think largely because of the same thing the AdMech have, all this efficiency, all this redundancy built in, the fact that you could build solid core things and then change 200 points or whatever and make it insulate yourself from any resistance. A good example of that will be throwing some Hellions in your list just to be able to charge AdMech flyers.
Spot on. And I think most of these are pretty fair. In fact, they've even given us some reductions in this one. I didn't see a single reduction in the AdMech side. Did you guys see any?
Robots. Come on, man.
Oh, of course. I mean, I was here for that bit.
That whole conversation.
My memory. ADHD activated.
I just thought the 100%. Lack of relevance for the Castellans would overrode that.
So. Do you know the one I wish got a nerf? Got a points decrease? Dragoons. I'll say it again. Yeah. What did Dragoons ever do to anybody? They shouldn't have to pay for Balistari sins.
The Dragoons are paying for what they did in previous editions is what they did.
Fair. So what points structures have we got here? Sorry, which are the twos and throws here? Because there's quite a few reductions.
So here, let me run it down. So the Archon increased by 5 points. Homunculus is down by 10 points.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. Succubus up by 20 points.
And there was much rejoicing.
Yeah. So just for perspective, that's a fairly significant percentage increase. The succubus is now up to 80 points, where she was 60 before.
It feels good. It feels good to me.
Feels appropriate. I wish it was this many points on the Marshal, but here we are.
That's a little weird. Well, the Marshal didn't run across the field and turn one charge, folks.
Yeah. Take your literal most, the thing you like the most. People just quietly suss out, which one did you paint most recently? Like, yeah, that one. I'm really proud of it, Succubus.
A specific ward year, Succubus. But anyway, I digress. Witches increasing by 2 points apiece. Trueborn increasing by 1 point. Blood Brides by 1 point. Grotesque reduced by 5 points. Incubi up by 2 points.
Incubi's not too bad. I mean, putting them at 90 points for 5 or 180 for 10, that's fine. We're good.
I think it should be up higher than 2 points, if you ask me.
Well, that's your opinion.
Right.
The witches going up by 2 is quite a bit. 12 points a model for witches. I do. The fact that they've got like 5 attacks each and a 4-up invuln in combat and whatnot is pretty good for your baseline troop. 2 points is a lot now. People are going to have to question if they can spam them anymore. I still think
Blood Brides, right?
The thing is, though, I think Blood Brides are still too good. Like, one unit of Blood Brides is still... Well, sorry, not too good. I still think you're going to see them. Like, one unit of Blood Brides still feels appropriate for that many points.
Why do you say that? Like, what are the Blood Brides bringing to the table?
They're so good for punching up. They are so good for taking Morvayne's Agonizer in addition, being that one of their best pieces of war gear. And then you essentially have a baby Succubus insulated in a unit of super vicious, like, essentially Repentur-esque models. And they can be slung around very, very, very well. I just don't think you're going to see as much of the MSU witches that we saw here, there, and everywhere.
Yep,
I agree.
Kronos increased by 5 points. Which
not enough.
You said not enough?
Not enough. No, that's fine.
Ravager, negative 10 points.
Here we go.
10 points.
Yeah.
Talos, down 10 points. The Dark Lance on the Raider increased by 10 points.
That's deserved.
There was much rejoicing.
Razorwing Void Raven Bomber down by 10 points.
There we go.
That's, I mean, when you coupled with the flyer restrictions, the fact that you pretty much can't have 3 bombers anymore, and the fact that we didn't see these all that much anyway, apart from like the here and there bad touchness at the start of the book, I think the flyers is fine. I would like to have seen Kronos be 10 just because I they're so good.
Well, I think they're going to increase in popularity with some of these other changes.
Talos too. Talos for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the pivot, isn't it? It used to be the core of the army was built around just mass MSU in Raiders. And now I feel like it's just going to be, you've got some nice pivots. Kronos with all their super liquefiers. No, they're not liquefiers. Their super flamers and all that stuff they get from being dark technomancers is fantastic. And Talos and Grotesques in the -1 damage cult both feel quite good at their points cost now.
You think this is going to, I mean, really radically change things? I mean, really, to me, it seems like the weight of the succubus is once you take, because I don't think you're going to take fewer succubuses still. I think you're still going to go with the 2 in Drazar, which I think Drazar remained the same.
Yeah, 145 is probably about right for Draz. It's fine.
And
yeah, he remained the same.
So what's coming out?
I think witches get dropped for probably more racks. And that's a pretty safe trade for me, like more racks, less witches. I think maybe it's one less unit of incubi. Like, every list just doesn't start with 3 units of incubi. Can make a case for only needing 2. I do think 100% you take 1 succubus, 100% you take 1 archon, and then the second succubus is probably going to make it in there, but might not always. And then, yeah, I think it's 1, probably 2 less raiders, and then maybe you take a big brick of Talos or Grotesque just to be like your hard to chew core. But I wouldn't be surprised to see double Covens detachments now. Like, if in your 3 patrols, you have a Strife, and then a Dark Technomancer's and the minus one damage covens being your triple patrol. That wouldn't surprise me at all to see that become its own like kind of list, be it the covens heavy one. This for the same for the very similar reasons we were talking about the Scorpex and the Destroyer Cults. The massive toughness five with you know, damage reducing buffs just feels pretty reliable and pretty good at getting good scores.
I think it goes back to exactly what we're talking about with the AdMech of the player, the list, when they're making their list, having to make strong choices between what units are available. I mean, I think there's just as much capacity for double Trueborn lists or,
yes,
or you know, with a coven in support, not even considering witches possibly. I don't think that it completely shelves witches. I just think that they might not be a requirement at their current point increase.
I just think that's like you take the minimum to get the two succubuses and
yeah, they are still so good. Like, I mean, oh no, my 80 point succubus only killed 300 points this turn. Who cares? Like, you know, who cares? It's just fine.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it is significant. I think you are taking out. So, Adam, your point with the you are getting rid of at this point in time, you know, a unit or two of five witches.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
Which reduces their ability to hold, or even I guess anything, either racks or anything that anything they use to hold those backfield objectives or to screen things out. You've reduced the ability to screen. You've reduced the redundancy in controlling objectives or objectives, which I think makes this army manageable for opponents a little bit more manageable for opponents.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to add on this is there's one little sleeper that snuck past the keeper. Hellions didn't get touched. And I think Hellions are utterly phenomenal. And I
didn't
expect to see...
Didn't sneak past me, Adam. Didn't sneak past me. I just didn't think it needed to be mentioned, all right?
Hellions are phenomenal. And I'm happy to say that because they've been a joke for like three editions since Baron got removed. Or was it Duke? Whichever one.
It was the Baron. It was the Baron. Duke was the...
right after I made the model.
but literally Hellions could be a very strong PV. I don't think it's, you know, massive squads of Hellions, but if you're taking out MSU witches, putting in MSU Hellions makes a lot of sense.
Hellions are 17 points model. That's without war gear.
Worth every penny for me.
Let's compare it to a witch. If you mentioned a witch, so five more points than a witch.
Yep.
But they have the fly keyword.
And essentially, the raider that you were going to buy for the witches is the skyboard on the Hellions. Buys the raider that they'd have to purchase otherwise. In addition to that, they've got a better profile in combat into certain things. Like the damage to rend one makes a lot of difference, especially into marines, than witches does.
Their glaive or whatever it is.
Yeah, ability to charge flyers, ability to do the flyby. Having fly is just such an upgrade as well. Even though witches could spend CP to get it, to get the pseudo fly with the flip belt desk bonus. I just think Hellions are fantastic. They also come with a half decent shooting gun, you know, for anti-infantry.
Not troops though. So you gotta have a tax to get it.
That's true.
I mean, unless you take the CP tax. So I guess there's some kind of tax for them, no matter what.
Yeah, and the faster tax slots, it's got a couple of good other options in there as well.
But the free utility of them, you're exactly right. They did seem to. Well, they're not what people are building around. They're things that people have shifted to.
Yeah, exactly right. I don't think they're going to be good enough to take as like you're taking 30 of them and they're the core of your army. But if you felt bad about dropping the MSU witches off, there's a good substitute in my mind. You drop two units of witches, drop the raider that you would have taken for them, add two units of five Hellions in, and you've probably got some points left to play with.
Yeah, I do think. Well, you guys are exactly right, saying that we'll see a lot more Talos. I mean, does the fact that the Homunculus gets cheaper, is that enough?
Yes, yeah, that's a big deal, man. Yeah,
to open
huge deal. So because in theoretically, like, you know, a unit of three Talos went down by 30 points, and then support Homunculus went down by 10. So you're saving 40 points straight up for that
right.
combo.
He's keeps, always going to be cruising with him.
Four Hellions for that.
Exactly. Dude,
well,
exactly
not
yeah.
four. Three. Yeah, three Hellions.
Three. We math good.
Look, that's when you look at it though, because all this stuff is trading off. So in everything that's got an increase in some of these things, it's like, what are you taking out? And if you can build around things, I jokingly said earlier about how if you were taking that compliment of Castellan robots, you then get a free marshal in your army.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, it's the Datasmith. It's the free Datasmith that you wouldn't have taken otherwise that they needed to take to make them core and get
right.
all the goodness.
Change protocols around a little easier.
Yeah, baby. So I'm going to say right now, I think Drakari and the Drakari Codex is one of the deepest books I mean, internally balanced books, deepest fact, you know, the amount of options that they have is one of the deepest books we've ever seen. And so I am not worried for the faction whatsoever. In fact, I think you'll see
the same thing play out with orcs, though.
And Admech to certain degrees.
Admech, absolutely. Orcs will have to wait and see. I actually think orcs need some, as much as I think buggies and planes might need some points increases, like I want to see Dacker jets go up, rocket trucks go up, scrap jets go up. I want to see other things go down. Nobs, mega nobs, some of their transports, some of their HQ choices. Because it seems to be there's a bit of a cliff once you get past their most powerful stuff. And I want to see the top come down and the bottom come up.
Oh, I see. You're talking about more just points. I think, though, for functionality and utility of the unit.
Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They've got a really strong MSU build just waiting in the wings, I think. MSU infantry.
I don't think these changes to the Drukhari are going to shift their position of power at all. Not even a little bit.
So they're arguably the best army of this edition so far. I don't think this taints that, but they don't. Like I said, they're top two right now, and I definitely still think they're. I can't make an accurate representation of whether they're top three still, but they're definitely still top five. Like no,
I don't
no
mean
doubt.
That
in my
to
mind.
Sound like so like harsh or a bad thing. I don't think it is. I think that now, you know, like I was said before, is that the changes of this are going to make the opponent feel like they're actually in it. They're doing something in the game, and they'll be able to get some momentum of their own. Whereas before, it was just this oppressive weight of every single one of our units punch up. Oh, and we also happen to have more units than you.
Exactly. Spot on.
Yeah, now there'll be a couple of less units. Still be doing over there, doing all your ninja, slicey slice, fast moving, sleek stuff. I think Drukhari player is going to feel very satisfied still. And the opponent for whatever army is going to feel like they're in it and can compete with the actual point scoring of the game. You can always remove Dark Eldar Drukhari models.
Yeah.
Not all of them know their durability.
But
you weren't scoring any points. And now you can score
another
points.
So since Victoria, my state's opened up and I've been able to play games again, I've played, I want to say, five games against Drukhari. I haven't played, these hasn't been five turn games. We've played until it's pretty obvious the conclusion, and then we've re-racked and gone again. And
Space Marines still charge three times. You're like, let me start over again.
Space Marines still don't beat Drukhari. And I'm hoping that's going to change a little bit, because how it felt was I demeched and killed half of his army using half of my army, but then the half of his army that, you know, made it to turn two's, turn three's, turn four was able to just remove any ability I had to contest the table. You know, I threw away all my best units to remove their basic units, and then their basic units just removed the rest of my stuff. It's not like for like.
Well, with these changes, is there anything y'all are excited about getting on the table? Tim, you got any guard list you've been brewing up? Maybe not going to be ready for that next tournament you're coming up to, but what do you think about for the next thing?
I'm actually switching to custodes after this. So no, after this tournament, that'll probably be it for me with the guard for a while.
Hey, real easy to travel with. Can't fault
you
there.
That is a major consideration for me. I'm getting my passport. I want to do some traveling, and a guard army just does not facilitate that. So yeah.
Red, what about? I mean, I know you're on guard now, but I mean, you know, you also play Drukhari.
I do. I mean, and the Drukhari, for me, fortunately, not too many significant changes, kind of up the alley of where I was thinking I was going to go with them. For guard, I mean, I honestly think I'm going to, I have several tanks. I can't say that I'm going to get away from my infantry-centric Tanith right now, but I could see, I mean, I think a tank commander makes sense in a lot of ways for what they can do. I mean, you saw it, Paul. You know, I do have mana cores. I do have a heavy detachment. I have a pretty cool little fan fiction side story as to why they're in the Tanith army. But I could see a tank commander making his way over there, too. So it's worth considering. I'm pretty excited for it. Really, the other thing, and as we've already discussed, I might be waking up my Tomb World to get back into it, because there's a lot of cool options. I mean, I'm a huge Destroyer fan, honestly. And so between Locust, I don't have any Ophidians. I just never really got to make that jump. But I do have all the Scorpex I could possibly need, and plenty. I have all the Locust Destroyers I could possibly need. So I'm pretty excited for that, to be honest.
I'm going to try to make a list with a bunch of Lehman Russes. I mean,
do it.
Awesome. Just thinking about some mounted up and some Taurox or Chimeras. Like, I just try to go full on.
American Tank Company has American Tank Company has 14 tanks. See if you can do it.
Oof, that's a challenge.
That's points going to get lean. Every time you can influence the die, different people in the die, and then like we're talking about with the extra plus one to save from psychic power, which is important, you might create a situation where they just aren't able to reduce your offensive power in one turn, in the first turn of the game. Mm-hmm. And that opens up a lot of potential, I think, for the Astro Militarum, if you can somehow mitigate the lack of ballistic skill. And I think if your commanders are on the table long enough, then maybe they can. We'll see.
I think there's a lot of experimentation for Guard and Necrons players out there. I think the most out of this, and it's just for Necrons, I think it's just a whole new world. It's almost like you throw out what you knew, start learning again, because you've just got such a new playbook.
That's a great point.
It's very exciting.
All right, well, that's it. That's all for the show this week. There's this document. It's up for free to download. 3 pages. Radically changes the game. Check out the Wareham community article. I'll also put a link in the show notes, although I'm sure you've seen it by now. But it is up to grab, and I suggest people start using it as soon as possible. Other than that, we'll see you next week.
See you then, guys.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Our craft worlds are sentient beings. These hosts are not. Better luck next time, monkeys!